scientists have decoded the genetic sequence of human beings, mice, fruit flies, and many germs that cause deadly diseases. Now we can add to that list one of the most obscure creatures on the planet, the sea squirt. Its chief claim to fame is as a pest. It grows on boat hulls and on pilings. An international team of scientists has labored to read out the DNA of the sea squirt. NPR's Richard Harris explains why they went to all the trouble.
Sea squirts are so obscure, it's hard even to find an expert who actually studies them. Richard Howey, a retired philosophy professor in Laramie, Wyoming, is one of the few. He has a couple hundred sea squirt specimens sitting in jars of formaldehyde in his basement.
Some of the attached forms look like chunks of brain. There's one kind that looks like a long strip of okra. Some of those free-swimming forms are beautiful, very elegant, look like they're made out of glass. So they're just quite strange in lots of ways.
Do you know other people who are interested in sea squirts in the U.S.?
Offhand, no. I know of a couple in Holland.
Richard Howey, meet Michael Levine, who has recently come to appreciate the charms of the sea squirt. His come off the pilings of his local marina down the street from the University of California, Berkeley.
The best thing you can do with it is you can pick it up, and you can actually squeeze it, and it will squirt out water. My 14-year-old son, who visits the lab, loves doing this. He likes to destroy our sea squirts by squeezing them and using them as nature's own squirt gun.
Levine has become attracted to the sea squirt because it sits in an extraordinary place in the chain of being. It looks like the humblest of animals, maybe a sponge or a worm.
If you weren't careful, you might even think they're plants because they're so simple. But if you look at the embryos and larvae, in fact, they look like very simplified vertebrates.
And that's very nearly what they are. Strange as it sounds, they are essentially vertebrates without backbones. They are much more closely related to fish, birds, and people than to worms, starfish, or other invertebrates. They, like us, belong to a group of animals called chordates. Sea squirt larvae have a primitive spinal cord.
The first chordates suddenly appear in the fossil record 550 million years ago. And in a way, the sea squirt, at least the tadpole, is an approximation of what those very first chordates, our ancestors, looked like over 500 million years ago.
So Levine and his colleagues decided it would be well worth getting a readout of sea squirt DNA. The aim was to look for the genes that set chordates apart from the rest of the animal kingdom. So Levine and 86 other scientists in an international consortium ground up some sea squirts, extracted their DNA, and fed that into huge banks of DNA reading machines. Voila! Science Magazine is now publishing a draft genome of the sea squirt.
It has half the number of genes as the human genome, as our human genome, but just 1/20th the overall DNA content.
Levine went hunting for sea squirt genes that are found in vertebrates but not found in invertebrates. And he's found some, including two genes required for the development of the vertebrate heart. Pretty sophisticated for a creature that spends its adult life stuck to a rock, pumping water in one hole and out another.
It also contains a number of the genes required for the synthesis of thyroid hormones.
Levine also found genes not found in vertebrates. For example, the sea squirt has genes involved in making cellulose, the stuff plants are made of. Those genes are used to make the animal's tough outer coating, its tunic. In fact, sea squirts used to be called tunicates because of this feature. Levine figures that millions of years ago, some sea squirt's ancestor managed to steal those genes from a bacterium or a fungus that happened by.
Nature's done a lot of genetic engineering. This is kind of a reverse of genetically modified food crops. In this case, plant genes have gotten into an animal rather than animal genes being put into a plant.
Levine has just begun to explore the possibilities in sea squirt genetics, and he figures other biologists will seize on this animal for studying vertebrate evolution now that its genome is available. All this is music to the ears of philosopher Richard Howey in Laramie, Wyoming.
I hope interest does grow in them because they're fascinating creatures and they pose all kinds of really intriguing puzzles.
So here's to Ciona intestinalis, the not-so-lowly sea squirt. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.
To see a sea squirt squirting by the seashore, say that fast, or at least in the water with its tadpoles, check our website at npr.org.